Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and now, from high in the hip, beautiful West Palm, here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Well, howdy! Let's, as they say, try this again. Welcome to Tuesday. It follows Monday, which, what show? There were issues. For that, I apologize. I, being Bob Kincaid, this Head On Radio Network, Conversation Radio, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, America's liberal voice. Yeah. So, no, we had issues last night. Couldn't get a show out. Couldn't get the stream to some. Don't know if it's gonna tonight or not. Pray if you want to. Chant, light incense, burn candles, mumble, stare, whatever it takes to get things through for the next three. I hope we will have a show. Now a couple of things. I'm operating on rank optimism here. I tried to get a message out last night, but of course it didn't go on. There was no podcast or anything. So let's try again. I do need to get a message out to Michael in the UK, who kindly contributes to keep the program going. You just need to know this, Michael. Somewhere along the way, Boss Man Wayne handed me the envelope yesterday. Somewhere along the way, in the process of getting from the UK to here, somebody slit the envelope open. And lightened it, shall we say. So, just thank you very kindly for all your efforts along the way, Michael, and to all of you who keep all of them, Michael in particular, because it was his mail that got open. That's the first time in nearing a decade of doing this that's happened. But a little note also along the way, some of you have said, you know, pal, because if you just go through PayPal and do the shipment to bobkincaid@gmail.com, which is the associated email address, and you choose gift or what first, there won't be transfer attached to it. So that's one way of getting around that. So I wanted to let you know that as well. Yes, Kath, everybody's having the hiccups with their streams because the stream is hiccuping here already, which is not a good sign at 4 minutes past the hour. But at any rate, and thank you, David, in Tennessee. I appreciate that. Yep, we have a problem. Thank you, Isaac. So what, one word in 10 is getting through? Somebody, please. This is intensely frustrating. Here I am, ready to do a show, and I don't know. And what it is, we're having trouble getting the connection up to the server because the server apparently does not like to connect, and that apparently has something to do. We've had a lot of hacks on the White Rose servers over the last year, and this may be another dose of that. So cross your fingers. We're buffering just a teeny tiny bit once in a while. Wow, 16 kilobyte dial, which is rather interesting. And the streams are out of sync. Okay, I need to get this information all to Ben. But I do very badly want to get a show. Of course, the last day of January. That means we have successfully navigated 1 month out of the 12 of 2012. And that's saying something in its own. David in Tennessee telling me, yes, 4 words in 10 are missing. I hope it shuts down. Sincerely do, but there it went again. Well, we're going to try to get through. We got done out of Moran Monday last night, but that's okay because we got a lot of stuff this evening, and that's one of the things. One, I don't like being away from the microphone. Two, when there are stories like this out there, you hate not being able to engage some dialogue, some discussion on it. So we'll... Before we do that, with January ending here, it is worth noting, and I intend to note it, and I'm sure many others will as well, it is worth noting that February begins the annual observance of Black History Month. I still can't help noting that it's the shortest month of the year. What's wrong with one of those 31-day months? You know, March, July, August. Not a lot going on, August. October, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31. Okay, yeah. So I want to get out there ahead of the curve, if you will, in observing Black History Month. This is a brilliant piece of history. You know, if you listen to or view the Virginia American History series with Dr. Bill O'Brien and Professor Keith Lilly, you know the emphasis that they place on primary source documents. Primary source documents are important because they give us a real view of history as opposed to an interpretation of one. And so it was with real joy earlier today, my day, sitting at the doctor's office, checking my email on my phone, while Radio Rwanda played in the background. I take a blood pressure pill every day, largely because I don't get enough exercise. And I do that, well, to be healthy. But you have to go back periodically just to make sure everything's behaving itself and to get your scripts re-upped. And I needed my blood pressure medication re-upped and my cholesterol medication re-upped. So I went down to the local clinic today and sat there for a long, long, long time. This Radio Rwanda droned on in the background, and I had two things that saved me. One came from Sandra, and it is this that I refer to. It is a primary source doc that I have since forwarded on to Dr. Bill O'Brien. I think he will find it fascinating. And that in reading it, I thought, wait a minute, yeah, let's get out ahead of the curve. Let's add one day to Black History Month and start it this evening. What it is, or the setup to this, is that in 1865, a Colonel Anderson of Big Spring, Tennessee, wrote a letter to one of his former slaves who had become free, during the course of the war, and him come back and go to work for him back on the plantation in Big Spring, Tennessee did. In a moment, time and hopefully in candor, Colonel Anderson's former slave, Jordan Anderson, dictated a letter from his home in Dayton, Ohio, where he was enjoying the first tastes of freedom, and mailed it back to Colonel Anderson on the old home place. It was a beautiful thing to read, and it was not wanting for little of irony, as well as references to horrors past. So with that in mind, I thought we would get Black History Month, and I mean this in all sincerity. You know me. I'm not a smartass about this kind of thing. I thought we would get Black History Month off to a good start one day early, adding a day, month, and with the letter from Mr. Jordan Anderson to Colonel P.H. Anderson. I can think of several things that P.H. might start with, might stand for, but, you know, it's probably Philip Henry or Peter Harold or but Colonel P.H. Anderson, Spring, Tennessee. And rather than read it to you myself, I thought I would bring in another voice.
Dayton, Ohio, August 5. To my old master, Colonel P.H. Anderson, Big Spring, Tennessee. Sir, I got your letter and was glad to find that you had not forgotten Jordan and that you wanted me to come back and live with you again, promising to do better for me than anybody else can. I have often felt uneasy about you. I thought the Yankees would have hung you long before this for harboring rebs they found at your house. I suppose they never heard about you going to Colonel Martin's to kill the Union soldier that was left by his company in their stable. Although you shot at me twice before, I did not want to hear of your being hurt, and am glad you are still living. It would do me good to go back to the dear old home again and see Miss Mary and Miss Martha and Alan, Ethel, Green, and Lee. Give my love to them all. I hope we will have a better world, if not in this. I would have gone back to see you while I work at the hospital, but one of the neighbors told me that he intended to shoot me if he ever got a chance. I want to know particularly what the good chances you propose to give me. I am doing tolerably well here. I get $25 a month, with victuals and clothing. I have a comfortable home for Mandy, the folks call her Mrs. Anderson, and the children, Millie, Jane, and Grundy, are learning well. The teacher says Grundy has a head for a preacher. They go to Sunday school, and Mandy and I attend church regularly. We are kindly treated. Sometimes we overhear others saying, "Them colored peoples were slaves down in Tennessee." The children feel hurt when they hear such remarks, but I tell them it was no disgrace, Colonel Anderson. Many darkies would have been proud, as I used to be, to call you master. Now, if you will write and say what wages you will give me, I will be better able to decide whether to move back again. As to my freedom, which you say I can have, there is nothing to be gained on that score, as I got my free papers in 1864 from the Provost Marshal General of the Department of Nashville. Mandy says she would be afraid to go back without some proof that you were disposed justly and kindly, and we have concluded to test your sincerity by asking us our wages for the time we served you. This will make us forget and forgive old scores and ruin your justice and friendship in the future. I served you faithfully for 32 years and many years. At $25 a month for me and $2 a week for Mandy, our earnings would amount to about $11,680. Add to this the interest for the time our wages have been kept back, and deduct what you paid for our clothing and three to me, and pulling a tooth for Mandy as well, as we are in justice entitled to. Please send the money by Adams Express in care of V. Winters, Esquire, Dayton, Ohio. If you fail to pay us for the faithful labors in our past, we can have little faith in your promises in the future. Trust the good Maker has opened your eyes to the wrongs which you and your fathers have done to me and my fathers, in making us toil for your generations without recompense. Here I draw my wages every Saturday night, but in Tennessee there was never any payday for the Negroes any more than for the horses and cows. Surely there will be a day of reckoning for those who defraud the laborer of his hire. In answering this, please state if there would be any safety for my Millie and Jane, who are now grown up and both good-looking girls. You know how it was with poor Matilda and Catherine. Rather stay here and starve and die, if it come to that, than my girls brought to shame by the violence and wickedness of their young master. You will also please state if there has been any schools open for the colored children in your neighborhood. The great desire of my life now is to give my children an education and have them form virtuous habits. Say howdy to George Carter, and thank him for still from your old servant, Jordan Anderson.
And thus begins Black History Month on the Horn. You know, every so often, one of those right-wing swine, be it Limbaugh or Beck or any number of the foul vermin that pollute the public airwaves that are only we, the people of the United States, still wanly seeking to create a more perfect union, will go into the business of reparations. And they will, slavery reparations, and they will opine at length on how they never owned any slaves, why do they own? And you can hear it all over the place. Generally, it's a straw man set up, but the fact of the matter is, they're due. They are due. That was brought to bear by the calculation of Jordan Essen's letter. Consider that. 32 years unpaid. His wife, 20 years unpaid labor. $8 a week for his wife and $25 a month for him. Even then, there was wage disparity between the genders. And this is an important point, I think. It's not really, it's not perhaps why we're going to the rest of the program going, but I do think it is important. And that is this. In Anglo-American law, and I am not a lawyer, nor do I play one on the radio, but debts may be pursued by one's heirs, successors, and assigns. If, for instance, you die owing your credit card bill. No, let's say you die owing on your house or your car. Absent some form of mechanism whereby you can finish debt, the bank can come at your aid. Or the lender in general. Why is this not true with the unpaid labor of countless people who were their labor stolen from them? I can't answer that question because it is completely at odds with American law. So just remember that the next time some pasty-faced, doughy freak begins prattling away about, well, why would we ever ought to pay no reparations? Right? I should think. Thank you, Sandra, for sending along because it got a lot of thought going in my head. I know the car barred by the statute of limitations. But when would you toll the statute and in Jordan Anderson's position access justice in the courts of the state of Tennessee or the federal courts? Say howdy to George Carter and thank him for taking the pistol from you when you were shooting. There was never any payday for the Negroes any more than for the horses and cows. And like I said last week, as I saw the white people all wrought up over what a woman does with the workings of her internal organs there in Washington, D.C., I wondered if anyone would tell them that slaves leave the White House. Because there are so many more issues, country, than trying to be a busybot about somebody else's insides. And that's all they are. Well, I'm being told that the stream remains dodgy. Still buffing, according to Marty. Still chop-choppy, according to David in Tennessee. I don't know what to make of this. We'll try to get this sorted out. I've been in communication with Ben Birch. And I apologize. And believe me, this is not a want of being able to do a show on my part. If this was going out, but well, was working great. Was. I'm watching the chat room here, just trying to get some real-time input as to what's going on. Communicate with me here, Lottie. You say it's not bad, but it's still doing it, right? Okay, Mark, thank you very much. Listen, it's just not. I'll be on the phone and try to get this sorted out with Ben. He is a master, a past master at this. He's...
Thank you. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.